As we're learning about modim, one of the aspects of modim is that we bow down. And we're going to learn a little bit for the next couple of days some of the halachos which pertain to the proper way of bowing and the reasons why we bow. The Gemara tells us in the fifth chapter in Masechet Brachos, Eilu brachos she'adam shoyche behen, these are the times which a person should bow down, ba'avos techil v'sov, v'hodah techil v'sov. Then we bow down at the very beginning of the Amidah, beginning of the paragraph of Avos, the first paragraph, and then of course by the end of that paragraph of Magen Avraham, and also techil v'sov v'hodah, which is by the beginning of Hodah, which is Modim, and then also the end of that bracha, Hatov Shim Cholochanu El Hodos. Those are the four times that one bows. And the Gemara tells us, what if a person is in the bowing mood? V'im ba, if it happens to be that a person comes, L'shoach b'sov kol bracha v'bracha, v'tchilos kol bracha v'bracha, they like bowing down the beginning of every bracha, the end of every bracha, malam dinos l'shlish, we teach that person, do not bow down so much. We can discuss the reason for this. The Gemara continues and says, this law does not apply to everyone. This is only by a hegit, a common person. However, when it comes to a kohen gadol, or melech, a king who's davening the Shmon Esrei, the bowing laws change. Kohen gadol, tchilas kol bracha v'bracha, we request and require, halachically, that the kohen gadol should bow down not just the four times, but every single bracha at the beginning of that bracha. And it says when it comes to a melech, a king, when it comes to his bowing, not only does he bow down like so much more like the Kohen Gadol, but kivan shikara shuv enuzak. Once he bows down, he no longer straightens himself up. As though to say that when it comes to a melech, when he davens the Shmon Esrei, he will be bowing down once, less than us, but bowing down the entire time. And they quote a pasuk in Malachim, with regard to Shlomo HaMelech, it says, "Vayhi ki kol Shlomo spalel," that when Shlomo HaMelech finishes davening, "Kom lifnei mizbeach Hashem," he would get up from davening to Hashem, "Nechroa al birkav," from his bowing down on his knees. So the Gemara interprets this to mean that when he was davening, he would always be bowing, because it says that he would get up only from the time after he finishes davening, which the Gemara implies that means that a person who is a king always needs to be bowing from the beginning until the end. So there's a couple obvious issues. One is why, if there's a halacha, when it comes to bowing, that we say you should bow four times, and we say don't bow anymore. We teach people don't bow anymore, which seems like it's too much, right? Too much of anything is no good. Maybe bowing is also. If that's the case, why do we make these exceptions when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, when it comes to the Melech, when it comes to the King? So to possibly address these questions, you have to understand the significance of why we bow in general. And there's an interesting Gemara somewhat toward the end of the first chapter in Masechet Kedushin, it's on Chav Tes, which discusses the story of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. The Rav Acha bar Yaakov was a tremendous tzaddik, and it was heard that he was going to learn in the Beis Medrash of Abaye. Well, why was this such an important thing? Because in the house of Abaye, there was a demon of some sort, which was Mazig Mirabanim. This is what the Talmud says. Whatever this exactly means, but we're going to see a very important lesson from this Gemara. That this thing, which was a destructive force, was something which is extremely dangerous for any person to walk into. So Abaye, who heard that this great sage, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, was coming, he told everyone in his community, Lo leisef le inish ushpiza. I do not want anyone to allow him to stay at your house. And went to all the hotels, and they all said no vacancy. So what choice would Rav Acha bar Yaakov have but to sleep in the study hall, in the Beis Medrash? And he says, hopefully, when this great tzaddik will encounter this destructive force, perhaps he'll be able to cause it to be destroyed. So the Talmud says, and this is what the Gemara tells us, it's something the Gemara tells us, the old Basbahu Mirabanim, that he went and slept in this study hall. And the Gemara tells us, Idmile Kitznina Deshiva Rishai. It says that this destructive force appeared to him like a serpent, which had seven heads. And the Gemara tells us, how was he able to destroy it? Did he pull out his 38 special? No. Kol Kriya Dekara Nasr Chad Reshin. Every time he bowed down, Rabbi Achab Yaakov did, one of the seven heads fell off of the serpent. Until, obviously, he bowed down seven times. And then, finally, this destructive force died. So, that's what the Talmud says. Now, perhaps, you can, not taking it for face value, you can learn something very important. That when it comes to this destructive force, it was the appearance of a serpent. And we know that the famous snake is found in the beginning of the Torah. Gracious, Adam Chava. So what does the serpent represent? Represents the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara corresponds to a person who is a Baal Gaiva, a haughty individual. And the way the Gemara is telling us to counter that element of one's Yetzer Hara, which is Gaiva, haughtiness, is to bow down. Because the person who bows down shows tremendous humility. You're an Anav, I'm completely humble. And that's the idea of why when he was bowing down, every single time, this powerful gaiva, this haughty source, kept getting destroyed. He was able to destroy it with his bowing down. And therefore, with that said, with this Talmud, we can maybe understand that that's why we bow down in the Shemoneh Esrei. We bow down in the Shemoneh Esrei to show that we are his servants, that we're considered like avadim, and therefore, by bowing down, it shows our great humility. So if that's so, why does the Talmud tell us when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, they bow down more? When it comes to the king, he bows down more? It's obvious. When it comes to a person who's an average folk, bowing down four times should be enough to be able to break down that haughty, Baal Gaiva feeling that a person may have within themselves. A person who has a very powerful position, you're a king, you rule an entire country, it's much easier for you to feel that a much stronger level of gaiva of haughtiness, because after all, I'm the king. Says the Gemara, such an individual, when they bow, it's necessary for them to bow down the entire time to be able to remove themselves from this haughtiness, this feel of gaiva, to be able to rather acknowledge that although they are a king, they're davening and standing before the Melech Malchei Melachim, the King of Kings. In conclusion, it's actually brought down in Halacha. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that Eilu Brachos Sheshoichin Behen, that these are the four times we bow, and not any other times. Be'avos Tchil V'Sof, Be'hodah Tchil V'Sof, which is similar to what the Gemara said, the four times we're accustomed to bowing. Ve'im Ba'al Lishchos B'Sof Kol Bracha O Tchilasa, if a person bows down by the beginning of the ending, Malandinos Shul Yishche. We teach that person not to bow. The question is, why not? After all, if I perhaps have a higher level of haughtiness within myself, maybe it's an admirable thing for me to bow down. Maybe it's a good thing. Says the Mishnah Brura, the reason why we teach that person not to bow is Kadesh Yavo L'Akrit Tekanas Chacham. First of all, we don't want to uproot the sage's decree that there's a certain amount of times we're supposed to do so. And also, Shul Yomer Kol Echad Machmir Kemo Shehu Rotzeh. We're concerned that you may actually appear that you're being haughty. Why? I'm bowing down because I'm such a great person, I need to bow down to be able to rid myself of this haughtiness that everyone else is watching me. She says a person is not allowed to do that. Which is interesting. What the Mishnah was telling us, the whole idea of us bowing down is so that we should be humble. So by you bowing down more than everyone else is in itself an act of gaiva, is an act of haughtiness. However, concludes the Mechaber. He says, Avol bem siasan yochol lishchos. If for some reason you love to bow, you're in that bowing mood, don't bow at the beginning or the end, but you actually may bow down in the middle of each paragraph. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Shein locha shiavol akar tekanas chachamim al yidezeh." We're not concerned that you're really uprooting any decree. After all, kivan shechachamim lo tiknu klal lishkos beemsa shum bracha. There is no real purpose of bowing down in the middle. We either bow down at the beginning or the end. So therefore, if a person does bow in the middle, that's not such an issue. To bow down additional times at the beginning and the end, that's something which we say, using the Lashon of the Gemara, as well as the Shulchan Aruch, Nolamdanos L'shul Yishcha, we teach them not to bow.